Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gridiron Blitz right here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to Gridiron Blitz right here on Block Talk Radio and now on Apple Podcast. We're going to have a great show today. Today's our official Apple iPad show, so it's going to be great to be here. Alongside Nkechi Free, Troy Wilson, and later on we'll be joined by Holly Custis as well. And then we have the talented individual, which is the most talented defensive player for the three games for Mexico, Alexandra Hernandez Macias, which you're better known on Twitter as Ali McDees. She'll be here into the No Joke Football Huddle in a couple minutes. Wide receiver from free safety for the Ravens out of FX Mexico, as well as Team Mexico free safety. So who do I have on the line right now?
Hello?
Holly?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Holly. Welcome. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're just getting started. Nkechi and Troy should be following along here. I think they were probably caught in traffic or so. So you know how that goes.
Okay.
And
yes,
a couple of minutes here, like I said, we'll have Team Mexico's bronze medal winner, Alexandra Hernandez Macias, which was number two. And so we'll get started there. In the hour here, we're going to have NFL news as well. We'll talk based on the off-season news and notes. And then we'll dive into the WFA playoffs, as well as the IWFL playoffs. And we'll start previewing what will be a great final, I think, for the Weibel in terms of Division One, which is Dallas versus Boston. And we kind of knew that this was going to happen when the Divas got ousted. We kind of figured out Boston was going to be the replacement on the East. And I don't know if this is going to be Dallas's Achilles heel, because Boston had the strongest schedule, just like the Divas had last year. So is the elite battle tested 2 years in a row, or are they going to falter once again? So, Holly, I don't know. This is a big deal now, three in a row. This is for all the marbles. Jenkins about to retire. You got Smith about to retire. Cahill, more than likely, about to retire. It's a big deal for a lot of players on both sides.
I agree. I definitely think that Boston has the advantage as far as their strength of schedule is concerned. But I do feel like Dallas, I mean, it's the third time in a row. I feel like they're kind of new. And the difference between Dallas last year and this year is they added even more weapons over the offseason. And when you look at their depth at running back and receiver, it's kind of ridiculous. And so, I mean, we won't know until we get into the game, but I'm leaning towards Dallas just because their weapons are going to be hard to cover for the length of the entire game. I mean, they're averaging, I think, like 50, 60 points a game. But we'll see. Boston's still a very strong team. They seem to play in really close games. So we'll see what happens in the game, but I'm leaning towards Dallas.
Yeah, and you know what? The last 2 years that Dallas has showed up to the finals, they've showed up to the finals. The problem is they've always been edged by under a field goal or under a touchdown.
Yes.
And it's always been second-half play. They've either started really hot, and all of a sudden the longer-tenured, more toughest scheduled team starts to control the game, and then at the end there, they sort of just pull it out. You know, it's not like they get blown out in the second half. I don't want to say Atlanta kind of mentality, you know, when they lost to the Patriots mentality, but it's sort of that mindset where you get up really early and then all of a sudden somehow reality sinks in that now this is going to be a battle for the end. So I'm hoping the elite is there this year because it would be nice to see them win it. But with the same token, you know, Cahill had her bad season last year when the injury versus Chicago and kind of shut down her season. And I'm pretty sure that's in her memory as well. And this is going for all the marbles. So it's going to be a tough battle, I think, on either side. But, you know, most people have mocked Dallas' schedule, and Odessa is very strong against the fact that this is what it is, and this is what we play, and that's why this is where we're at. So I agree with her in that sense, because you know, not much you can do with the schedule, because that's the way the WFA sets it out.
Right, I totally agree. I think for Dallas, you're absolutely right. For them, it's going to be really important to come out on fire and try to put as much distance as they can between them and Boston, because I feel like Boston is that scrappy team that if you leave them around and they're still in the game and then like in the third or the fourth, that's when you're in trouble. So if Dallas is going to do it this year, they really have to come out on fire and keep the foot on the gas pedal the entire time.
Yeah, and I think the best story out of the whole playoffs right now has to be Orlando Anarchy, if you take it out in a nutshell, because we know St. Louis was going to be here. There was just no question that
yes.
The Slam wasn't going to be here. I mean, everybody kind of saw that. The way their talent is, the defense on their side, we sort of knew that they were – I mean, we kind of had an idea that the Inferno was going to be here as well because they were playing such good ball all season long. And so there's your Division II wrap-up right there, a rematch. You know, and so at this point, I cannot go against St. Louis for whatever reason. I know TB took care of Montreal, but to take care of St. Louis, and I know Tiffany Hayes out there, they're gonna be ready. I kind of have a feeling they're gonna be ready. But the feel good story of the whole year has got to be Orlando. You know, when the WFA reformatted the playoff format, it sort of allowed a lot of teams to kind of, you know, walk into the same setup that Division One has. And you saw that. A brand new team in Arkansas goes halfway across the country to, you know, South Oregon. Unfortunately, the lights issue and all that, but they were way ahead anyways, even with the light issue in the last quarter of play. I don't think if they may have came back, they might have come back, but at this point we won't know, and it's just what it is now. But you know, the South Oregon Lady Renegades out of your division out there, very good ball in Division III. So, you know, they get taken down by Arkansas. But, you know, reality sinks in on the other side, which is Orlando had to travel to Toledo. Toledo, a really good squad in a really close game. But, you know, this is the feel-good story of the season. I think if the Orlando Anarchy show up in Pittsburgh and somehow beat Arkansas, it's going to be – a great, great feel-good story for the WFA.
Yeah, I totally agree. I kind of think Orlando, if you think about how much loss they've had in the past couple of years here, it's kind of comparable to when New Orleans went through Hurricane Katrina, and then all of a sudden they were coming together as a team, and they had the city behind them. And
yeah.
I feel like Orlando is kind of going through that right now where – they're rallying together, and sometimes when you go through life and you face that kind of adversity, it can actually make you stronger as a unit. And so I think
yeah.
It's really awesome to watch Orlando, and I'm definitely rooting for them. I mean, Arkansas has done some great things. It's just that Orlando is definitely that feel-good story of the year, and I'm excited to see what happens in the game in Pittsburgh.
And I got to give a shout-out to Toledo. I mean, Toledo only lost by a touchdown. So, I mean, that right there in itself, you got to give them credit. You know, they played tough all
Definitely.
Season, but, you know, one touchdown is the difference. And so they can't hang their heads down. They know that this is it. This is what's happening, you know what I mean? And so this
right.
this is what needs to be done. But, you know, they had a great season as well. So 27-20, Orlando takes care of Toledo. You got Mile High, which had a great season as well, but St. Louis just too much. 43-21. We knew coming in that Mile High Blaze was going to play really good ball, and they did. They played their hearts out. They put up 21 points against St. Louis, but overall, offensively and defensively, was the key right there for St. Louis. Montreal, I don't know if the travel in a neutral site did anything for their psyche, but Tampa Bay came in. Missy Bedwell has been kind of a staple there with the Divas shifting over to Tampa and just lighting a new fire there for Tampa. 50-26, that was the final against the Montreal Blitz. Montreal, an impressive season, their first season back in the WFA. So that's just impressive right there. Dallas, 63-7 against San Diego. San Diego, I want to give them credit, but at the same time, Holly, within that season match, you had Portland challenging them to a neutral site match to decide who would be the better squad. I don't want to mock San Diego because they're a really impressive team, but, you know, all this stuff aside, when all this stuff came up, deserving, I think Portland should have been there, but it is what it is. So we can cry all we want at this point, but here's the show, 63-7, Dallas, sort of an easy win over San Diego. I mean, there is no easy wins in the playoffs, but, you know, the score reflects more of an easy win. And like I said, Dallas is just so talented on offense, just not even funny at this point. Boston, 47-33. Chicago, slowly in this game, started going, and then towards the last third quarter, almost near the fourth quarter, they started to pick it up, but a little too late there, and Boston scores two scores at the end with Zeeley coming through once again, 47-33. So it was an exciting playoff, and we can't forget the 38-21 win at Arkansas versus the Lady Gades out of Oregon. So pretty impressive game there for both. I think we have Keyshawn and Troy on. Hold on, Holly. Let's see if I got in Keyshawn. Okay. Keyshawn, are you on? Troy?
Hey, this is Troy.
Hey, Troy. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, look at this. It's a party.
It's a party. It's a party.
Hey,
hey,
you got to talk about
Apple,
football.
First Apple podcast you're going to be on. Football podcast.
Hey, this is awesome.
First Apple podcast you're going to be on today. There you go.
I like it.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've been on hiatus since, like, I think February or whatever. But anyways, we got funding, so we're back live. So that's how things roll, I guess, sometimes in life. You get beat down and you got to get back up. So we're back up.
There you go. Resilience is the key.
Yeah, exactly. Troy, let me see if our guest is on right now. Just be one second. Let me see if I have Alejandra on. Alejandra is Alejandra Hernandez Macias. She is the free safety for the Team Mexico team, as well as wide receiver free safety for the Ravens out of FX Mexico. And let's see if she's on. Hold on. Alejandra, are you on?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Alejandra. Welcome to the Great Iron Blitz right here on Block Talk Radio and Apple Podcast. You are here with us today with Holly Custis, myself, Oscar Lopez, and you got Troy Wilson on. So I welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
So, Alejandra, tell us a little bit about the experience. And you want to do Spanish or you want to go English? Because I can translate either way.
Oh, I prefer Spanish. It's okay.
Okay, go ahead and let me just set the premise for them. So I'm just going to ask her how the event was for the World Championships, you know, the Federation issues, and then we're going to talk to her about her three interceptions and MVP caliber play through the three games. So, Alejandra, ¿cómo estuvo el evento para ustedes? ¿Tuvieron algo de problemas al principio con la federación y con todas las cosas que pasó anterior, antes de llegar a Canadá? Habla de eso ahorita nomás para hacerlo saber cómo estuvo eso y finalmente lo que se pasó es que llegaron a Canadá.
Bueno, sí, una semana antes de ir al torneo, la federación nos comentó que el presupuesto establecido pues no era el suficiente. Entonces, nosotros teníamos que cubrir cierta parte de, bueno, los vuelos a México-Canadá de todas las jugadoras. Pues decidimos vender playeras, hacer gorras con nuestro escudo de México para, pues, poder juntar ese dinero, que, pues, era un poco complicado juntar tanto dinero en una semana. Pero, pues, afortunadamente la federación al final nos dio el apoyo y, pues, ya logramos llegar a Canadá.
Okay, espérame un momento, ¿eh? So I just asked her how the incident was with the federation and lack of funding and how they had to fundraise to try to get to Canada. She's saying that there was a struggle there at the beginning. That's why they had to sell shirts and hats and all the other things to fundraise to get to Canada. But eventually the federation did come up with funding. So, Alejandra, cuando llegaste a Canadá, ¿cómo estuvo todo el evento? Se supone que todos estaban alegres. Iban a enfrentarse a Estados Unidos, que viene siendo el medallista de oro de las dos eventos anterior. So, ¿cómo se sentían ustedes cuando llegaron a la oportunidad? Va a ser el primer juego contra los campeones.
Sí, pues desde el principio fue como la motivación que todas necesitábamos, porque era pues abrir con el actual campeón. pues nuestro objetivo siempre fue alguna medalla y sabíamos que si le ganábamos a Estados Unidos, pues podíamos ganarle a cualquier equipo. Bueno, desafortunadamente no se logró la primera victoria, pero pues de todas formas íbamos por una medalla y se consiguió.
So I was asking her how she felt about going to Canada once she landed in Canada and figuring out that she was going to face the two-time champions, Team USA. So she said they're very excited, they're very motivated, and once they got there, they understood the magnitude of the event. And then obviously if they can compete with Team USA, they figured they can compete with just anybody else in the tournament. So Alejandro, dame un minuto. Holly, do you want to ask a question? I can translate for her. Or she understands English also, so she can either answer.
Okay. I just wanted to say, first of all, how impressed I was by your team, Team Mexico. I think you guys play really well. You're very fast, and I was really impressed by you guys. What was your favorite memory of the trip to Vancouver?
So, Alejandra, ¿cuál es el momento más memorable que tienes del evento?
Bueno, pues yo creo que cuando recibí el MVP y pues ver a mi familia apoyándome fue como la mejor parte, pero pues entre las tres intercepciones yo creo que no habría una prioridad.
Holly, she says she was really excited to be there and the most exciting thing is her family was there and on top of that, she got defensive MVP with three interceptions.
Awesome.
Any other question, Holly?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Before they went to Vancouver, how often were they practicing? Did they have the camp like Team USA did, or did they practice more than that?
So Alejandra, dice Holly que antes de llegar a Canadá, ¿cuánto tiempo se prepararon ustedes? ¿Era días o una semana? ¿Cuánto tuvieron para preparación?
Nos preparamos desde enero, pero únicamente los fines de semana. Fue la única preparación que tuvimos.
So Holly, she says the only time they had it because of what they were going through, they started in January, but they were able only to do weekends with the squad together.
Right. Okay. And my final one, who is your favorite NFL team?
So Alejandra, ¿qué es tu equipo favorito de la Liga Nacional de la NFL?
Los Patriotas.
She's a Patriots fan, Holly.
Oh, you're killing me. That's okay. I'm a 49ers fan.
Holly is de los San Francisco 49ers, está Alejandra, so... ella no le gusta los Nueva Inglaterra.
Me imagino, está bien.
Yeah. Déjame hablar, a ver si tiene Troy también. So Troy, go ahead and I'll translate your question.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to know, Ali, how did you get interested in playing American football down in your area?
So Alejandra, ¿qué te hizo para interesarte para... en la el femenil equipada en tu área de que estás que vives?
Bueno, principalmente mi hermano, que él es 4 años más grande que yo y él toda su vida jugó fútbol americano. Yo primero empecé pues apoyándolo, yo era primero porrista y de ahí me empecé a interesar jugar y pues fue cuando me metí.
So Troy, her brother is like 4 years older than she is, and he started playing, and then she got the bug, and she decided to try it out.
Awesome. So you know, especially, how did you end up on the defensive side? Did you play any other sports before, and how did you end up on the defensive side of the ball?
So Alejandra, ¿cómo tú que te pusiste en la o quisiste hacer defensa para el equipo nacional? ¿Y cómo llegaste a jugar la femenil equipada?
Siempre me gustaba porque me gustaba pegar. Prefiero pegar a que me peguen. Y siento que es un poco más la adrenalina que se siente jugando a la defensiva.
So Troy, she loves to hit, and she really likes that side of the ball because she can make an impact. And apparently, you know, it's a better spot for her all the way around because she's wide receiver too. But she'd rather be a linebacker.
Oh man, you know I like to hear that. That's what I like to hear right there. I like it. Awesome.
Troy, you got another one?
Oh yeah. The other question I wanted to ask is, did you play any other sports before? Because you know, just wanted to know. Did you play soccer down there? Because I know that's really, you know, that really enhances footwork and that really translates to any other sport. So did you play a little bit of soccer down there, and did it help you translate to American-style football?
So Alejandra dice, Troy, te pregunta que si jugaste este fútbol, porque es algo tradicional en México, para adquirir algo de lo atlético que tienes ahorita en tu juego.
No, nunca me interesó y pues no creo que lo llegué a hacer en algún momento.
¿Qué otro tipo de deportes jugaste, Alejandra? Aparte de, si no jugaste fútbol, ¿qué era, aparte de la familia equipada, qué jugabas de deporte?
Bueno, jugaba flag de
chita. Pequeña hice natación. Ok. So she ended up playing other sports, but that's her favorite sport.
Gotcha.
Any other questions, Troy or Holly?
Nope, that's all I got.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Holly.
What player did she play against in the tournament that most impressed her?
Alejandra dice, Holly, que es un jugador que jugaste a contra en el torneo, de que tuviste algo de, no de dificultades, pero de competencia contra un jugador de otro equipo.
Bueno, la jugadora que más recuerdo es la número 21 de Estados Unidos. Muy habilidosa y muy fuerte.
So Holly, Bam Bam, as Jenkins would say, Hannah DeGaffrenried. She was the standout for her, and she said she was very difficult to tackle. Big, heavy body, a lot of weight, massive.
Right. Awesome.
And she was a key figure. Alejandra, el 21 estaba, era una sorpresa, ¿no? Porque tenía mucho velocidad también ella. Y aparte de eso, tenía mucho músculo también, ¿verdad? Estaba bien, bien hecha. I was explaining to her that 21 is very, very well built and a lot of speed on the corner, so it must have been very tough to catch, ¿verdad?
Sí, de hecho, cuando
sabíamos
muy pequeñas que ella, pero sí, estamos decididos a ir contra ella.
So Holly and Troy, she's saying that because of the lack of size on their team, a team like Team USA and running back like Hannah DeGraffenried, obviously it's a trouble for them. But they kind of did what they can and to contain her.
Yeah, I've always been impressed with Mexico with their speed. So I think they actually rallied to the ball pretty well. I think they did really well with what they had, and so I was impressed.
So Alejandra dice, Holly, que buen hecho para ustedes, y ella estaba bien alegre de que ustedes jugaron con buen corazón, y todo el proceso se supone a un equipo más grande que ustedes en tamaño de peso y algo, pero dice ella que la movilidad de ustedes estaba bien, bien eficiente.
Muchas gracias, thank you.
So Alejandra, vas a jugar este FX otra vez o vas a tomar tiempo de fuera del evento o qué vas a hacer para recuperar?
Bueno, ya vamos a empezar, de hecho comienzan esta semana nuestros entrenamientos otra vez y pues más bien ahorita ya va a comenzar nuestra preparación para vernos dentro de 4 años y puedes ir por esa final.
So, Alejandra, estabas con los Ravens de FX México. Hace saber a nosotros cómo estuvo la temporada antes del el evento en Canadá.
Bueno, yo por un problema de una lesión no pude jugar esa temporada. Únicamente estaba entrenando para la selección. Pero pues se quedaron en semifinales, no pudieron llegar a la final. Y pues vamos a regresar esta temporada con el equipo.
I was asking her about her club team, Ravens, out of FX Mexico, and how they finished in the semifinals, but she said she wasn't able to play with them for the whole season because she had an injury, and so she was healing her injury and made the World Games more of a priority for her, so that she took the time off and didn't really play with the team towards the end. All right.
What was her injury?
Dice, Alejandra dice, Holly, ¿qué era la... el injury que tenías?
Es un tirón en la ingle. ¿Cómo te diga?
¿Era pierna o era nomás músculo o algo de brazo? O...
sí, del músculo de la pierna se me desgarró, se me estiró de más, entonces no podía apoyar ni hacer movimientos con la pierna derecha.
Yeah, Holly también tuvo un problema con su pierna también y tuvo que hacer algo de entrenamiento también durante la temporada, la anterior. Y este es el año que volvió ella también para jugar. So, Holly, I was in a knee injury. It wasn't major, but at the same time, it was still bothering her, so she decided to take precautions.
Okay, so that makes sense. I know how that goes.
Yeah, I just explained to her that you took some time off as well because you had your knee injury and then you just came back this past season, so.
Yes. I know all about that. Tell her congratulations on being able to come back from that.
Dice que, yep. So, Alejandra, ¿quieres atentar inglés o quieres continuar con español?
No, está bien en español.
¿Está bien en español? Ok, está bien. So, Alejandra, se supone que tenemos los tres juegos. Vamos a revisar los juegos, pues. Se enfrentaron ustedes finalmente a Gran Bretaña. Y era 19-8, era buen contesto en ese juego. Romero jugó bien, incluyendo tú, y también tu quarterback. So, aparte de eso, antes de llegar al evento contra Gran Bretaña, ¿qué era la llaves para del coach Giovanni para ustedes para ganar victoria?
Bueno, sabíamos primero que iba a ser un partido más difícil que el que tuvimos contra Australia, pero pues sabíamos que teníamos la habilidad. Confiaron mucho en la velocidad de Andrea, como bien mencionas, de Pacheco, bueno, en general de nuestras corredoras, y pues también confiaron mucho en la defensa, que había hecho muy buen papel en todo el torneo, entonces pues buscaban que Gran Bretaña pudiera lanzar un poquito más para... también para que la defensa las lograra parar.
So, Holly, I was asking her about the matchup against Great Britain, and she's saying that the key to their game was trying to get some speed going. They said they matched up pretty well in terms of size, but overall the coach emphasized more hardcore defense, and I think that's what won their game.
Well, that's awesome. I think it was a huge victory for them. And again, I haven't had a chance to finish my blog post that I've been writing about watching the games, but Mexico was definitely something that I thought they provided an excellent showing. And I think it speaks volumes to the progression of the sport down there. I know that my team played an exhibition game against an all-star team down there a couple years ago, and I was impressed by their speed, their knowledge of the game, and it was interesting to watch them play in this tournament, and it seemed like they liked to attack the edge a lot, like when we played against them, and I think they did really good, and they should be very proud of themselves.
So, Alejandra, you say, Holly, que bien orgullosos deben de estar ustedes porque jugaron buen juego en las esquinas y el momento defensivo también pudieron parar a Gran Bretaña. y ella dice, ella recuerda cuando jugaron un equipo de estrellas que vino a los Estados Unidos a jugar contra su equipo en Seattle, y dice que estaba bien con técnico y todo. Entonces ella esperaba de que cuando llegó el equipo nacional iban a hacer algo bueno en el evento.
Sí, muchas gracias. También para ese partido, pues sí, fue una preparación bastante dura, pero pues sí, se logró hacer un buen papel. Muchas gracias.
Yeah, she said she recalls that, and she prepared really well for that matchup too, because she knew it was a big thing, and so she's very grateful for the opportunity to be at the World Event.
That's awesome. I'm excited watching these games and watching the progression of the other teams around the world. It's really good for the sport. And how long does she think that she's going to try to continue to play?
So Alejandra dice, Harley, que a qué tiempo te vas a dar para probablemente no jugar o ya no jugar? ¿Va a ser un año, dos años, menos de cinco años? ¿Qué es tu pronóstico?
Pues no sé, la verdad es que ahorita tengo 24 años, entonces yo creo que, no sé, a lo mejor 32, dos mundiales más, tal vez los aguante.
So Holly, she's 24, but she's eyeing two more world championships before she hands them up, she says. She really wants to compete
awesome.
And win the gold, so she really wants to put that effort in.
That's awesome to hear. We need more people like her, and just continue to work hard at it, because you guys are doing really, really well, and I'm excited to see what happens in the next round of these games and see how everybody progresses. And so tell her to keep at it.
Dice Holly que apoyo y que vas a hacer bien porque tienes buena técnica y esperando tu nombre y tu con el equipo de México en los dos eventos que vengan. Troy, got anything else?
No, I just wanted to congratulate her on the defensive MVP and three picks, man. That's incredible. I mean, what a game. I know you were super excited, and that's one of those games that you're going to remember your entire life. So congratulations.
Dice que buen apoyo para ti, que hiciste muy bien en los eventos y los tres intercepciones es al corazón de él, porque él es una persona que le gusta defensa. So, bueno para ti.
Ok, muchas gracias por los comentarios. Es una gran motivación.
She said she was really motivated after the first pick, and then kind of realized that she's able to eye the quarterbacks, and that's where she got her two picks after that.
Yeah, that's called an addiction. It's about to get good to you.
Dice que estás adicta a la pelota, dice Troy, Alejandra.
Sí. Sí, un poco.
Yeah, just a little, she says, Troy. So, Alejandra, el evento estuvo muy bien, el final también estuvo bien. ¿Cómo estuviste después de todo el evento que se acabó e todos los MVPs del evento y todo, y esperaste que ibas a ser uno de ellos?
Pues sí lo pensé en algún momento, creí también que iba a haber como estadísticas, pero pues, bueno, no sé, Dios, se le dieron a Estados Unidos, pero no fue algo que me quitara de todas formas ya lo que había hecho.
Y ganando el bronce, Alejandra, es una cosa de grande para ustedes, para la organización de FX, para la federación, pero últimamente para el femenil equipado en México, porque se pone ya en juntos a Estados Unidos, a Canadá y a Finland también, y se supone con los equipos europeos. So tienen que estar ustedes muy, muy orgullosos de que vinieron al evento, nuevas al evento, pero salieron con buena resultado, y aparte de eso se llevan ustedes algo para todo el tiempo ya estando aquí en el evento, se lo llevan para a su casa ya para estar enseñando algo a las muchachas que quieren jugar en este juego, ¿no?
Sí, exacto, la verdad es que para México fue fue un gran paso. No teníamos cómo medir el nivel de fútbol que teníamos, y creo que esta fue una prueba pues bastante dura, y demostramos que pues en México también sabemos jugar fútbol.
So Holly Troy, I asked her about how does she feel about now being sort of a pioneer to start up, you know, her team competing at the World Championships at this level, and then having the result of a bronze medal. So she's saying that she's very proud of what they've accomplished, and that they didn't know what type of football they could play because they had never gone to an event like this before. And now they know that, you know, FX Mexico has been in place for over 10 years. Now they know that they can field a quality squad for another tournament to come.
Yeah, man, that's the awesome part about it, because, I mean, we talked about this, you know, before on our last broadcast, is that the popularity of the game is starting to spread, and especially through the women's game, and just the, you know, the more great feats that we see and the more great players that perform on the field, just like Allie did, she becomes an ambassador of the game as well as her team, and it's just, you know, I think that's how the love of the game is starting to spread, and I'm in awe of how many people are now so interested in playing this game, and also just, you know, in watching the game, which is just as important, because, I mean, that's how everyone, you know, gets to sustain and play. The more viewership you have, the better it is for everyone involved.
Dice la Alejandra que este Troy que es algo de empezar, y eres una ambasadora del deporte primero. Y siendo parte de el equipo nacional, representas tú más algo bueno, porque ya es un level más grande de lo que estaba en nomás en el país jugando con nomás los equipos.
Sí, definitivamente el nivel es diferente, pero pues teníamos la calidad de jugadoras para competir.
Alejandra, ¿todavía están jugando 9x9 en los equipos en México o han cambiado a 11x11 Masters?
Bueno, era 8 contra 8, pero al parecer ya va a ser 11 contra 11, es lo que se espera para esta temporada.
So, Holly, I was telling her, they normally play 8x8. So going to the tournament was kind of an adjustment period. She's saying that because of the federation support, that at this point they're thinking of starting an 11-11, you know, format. So that should be good.
That's awesome. I think, like, if you look at the history of sports, any time a national team does well, it seems to really help with momentum when you take it back home. So that's exciting to hear. So I look forward to seeing how that progresses, and I just know that pretty much, you know, every week that I'm on Facebook, I get more and more people from Mexico that play football adding me on Facebook. So it seems to be growing pretty fast. And so they just need to take that momentum with them and work on developing further. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what comes of that.
So, Alejandra dice, Javi, que es bueno para elevarse el juego a 11-11, porque en esa formata ya es más acomodante y ya no tienes que hacer ajustes para preparación cuando vas al otro evento mundial o otro evento mundiales, porque ya van a estar aclamadas a ese tipo de juego.
Sí, exacto. Pienso igual que ella. Creo que es una buena oportunidad para tener mejor, a lo mejor, colocaciones, lectura y pues todo, para desarrollarnos mejor en el campo.
So, Alejandra, aparte de ti, ¿quién es tu MVP de tu equipo? Yo se supone que todos son MVP, pero había una de, you know, puede ser defensa o ofensiva, pero mi favorita, afortunadamente, no era ti, ¿ok? So, afortunadamente. Pero sí era Andy Romero. Andy Romero para mí jugó bien, hizo buen efecto, pero todos los running backs en el evento, yo digo, jugaron bien. Era algo para mirar, porque todos los equipos tenían buenos corredores también. Pero en el lado defenso, te lo voy a dar a ti porque te estamos entrevistando hoy.
Muchas gracias. Sí, bueno, yo sí considero también, por ejemplo, Andy Romero y Fernanda Pacheco, las dos corredoras que teníamos en México, las dos las considero pues bastante buenas.
So Holly and Troy, I was joking with her. I was telling her that who would be her favorite player or player MVPs if she had to choose from her team besides herself. And I told her, unfortunately, I didn't choose her, but I did choose Andy Romero. And she says Andy Romero and Fernanda Pacheco would be her two favorites.
Well,
that was
a good
pick.
What position did I play?
All right. So Alejandra. The two players are playing running backs, so they're the team running backs. So Alejandra, vas a continuar con su clubs en FX Mexico esta temporada. So te vamos a mirar por Facebook también. Tenemos un video en nuestro Facebook en Great Iron Beauties de los tres intercepciones que tuviste en el torneo. So si van al Facebook Great Iron Beauties, van a mirar el video de tu acción y de tus tres interceptions.
Sí, muchas gracias. Gracias por el apoyo que nos dan y pues esperamos que podamos seguir en contacto para nuestras futuras preparaciones y participaciones internacionales.
Ok, Alejandra, hacerle hi a todas las muchachas y dile que estamos bien orgullosas de ellas y de ustedes por a ganar el bronce en Canadá, ¿ok?
Sí, muchas gracias.
Nos miramos, gracias por tu tiempo y esperando que terminemos en otro evento y vamos a esperándote en la temporada regular.
Perfecto, gracias y saludos a todos.
Adiós. So I was telling her that hopefully she has a great season in Mexico. The new season kicks off in probably another 60 days. And then she obviously is looking forward to another world tournament. So we'll see how she does in that regard. But Troy, before we came on, let's talk WFA playoffs so we get your feedback as well. Me and Holly were talking about how Dallas had a soft schedule. And every time we say that, obviously OJ doesn't appreciate that. But it was a WFA schedule, and they got to play it. And they're here for the third time. So Dallas arrives in Pittsburgh. This is their third shot at a championship. DC bounced off, and now we have the Boston Renegades, who apparently replaced the DC Divas because they had the toughest schedule in the East. So, Troy, what's your feeling? Is Dallas going to get it done, or are they going to be, you know, edged again by a touchdown or 3 points?
I just think they're due. I mean, they came so close, you know, the last 2 years. I mean, both times getting ousted by Washington, and I just think they really do. And I know our girl Odessa is just chomping at the bit to really get it over the hump. I just think that they are motivated. I just think that they are primed to make this run again. And I just think that they'll go ahead and pull it off this year.
Now, Troy, the feel-good story me and Holly were talking about before you came on was Orlando Anarchy from the Pulse event from the year before, because of the format change in the WFA where they give them the same format as Division I, Division II, somehow they pull up a big victory in Toledo, 27-20, and now they arrive in Pittsburgh one step away from being Division III champions. So what a story there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just, anytime you start to get on a run like that, I mean, it just starts to, you give your team so much confidence, and then that's what it's all about around this time of year. I mean, you've kind of been through all the ups and downs and you know, going against so much adversity, and then when you get to this point of the year, the more times you win, you know, especially at this time of year, is win and go home. So they're just getting all that confidence together. And so, you know, coming up at that point in time in the Division III championship, if they can make it there and just imagine the boost of the confidence that it'll have for that team.
Oh, yeah. It just should be good. The other matchup is going to be St. Louis Slam against the Tampa Bay Inferno. This is a rematch of last year, which the Slam won. Everybody's picking St. Louis. Do you think, Troy, maybe we should be taking the Inferno?
Well, listen, they played a pretty, their last game, I mean, they scored 58 points. So, I mean, they can obviously put, you know, they can obviously put points on the board. But St. Louis can also score. I mean, they dropped 43 so against Mile High. So it's going to be one of those shootouts. That's the biggest thing. So, I mean, at this point, you're just kind of looking at mistakes. You know, who's going to make the biggest mistake? And that's what it really comes down to. I mean, you see not those both of those teams, you know, allowed up in the 20s the last two games. I mean, their last game, you know, before getting to the championship game. So I really think it's going to come down to who's making the biggest mistakes. So, you know, we'll keep an eye out for that one and see who does.
All right, you guys, WFA Weibel, July 20th through the 22nd, 2017. It will be in Pittsburgh. It kicks off Thursday, July 20th, Weibel Day at PNC Park. So if you got your tickets there, Pirates against Brewers is your little free for the Weibel. Friday, July 21st at 12, Division III Championship, Arkansas Wildcats taking on the Orlando Anarchy. Friday, July 21st at 7, Division II St. Louis Slam taking on Tampa Bay Inferno. St. Louis looking for back-to-back championship. This is a rematch of last year's game. Saturday, July 22nd, 12 p.m., All-American game. And then Saturday, 7 p.m., Division I Dallas looking for a championship, third try. Boston and Cahill looking for another championship. So it's going to be a great one. Holly and Troy, we'll give out predictions here. I'm going to give you my predictions. I think Orlando will tough it out and take over Arkansas. I know it's early still. We still got a couple weeks to go. I might change my mind at this point, but I'm going with St. Louis as a solid. So Tampa Bay Inferno, if they're listening to me, nothing against you. Just feel like St. Louis has got it. And Dallas versus Boston, I want to go with Dallas because I think they deserve it at this point. It's going to be a tough call. I don't want to go against Cahill, but with the same token, it just seems like Jenkins hungry. I'm going to take the Elite.
Actually have the same lineup as you. I think Dallas, like Troy was saying, is due. But I feel like Dallas added even more weapons to their roster between last year and this year. Boston's still a really good team, though. So the way that Boston would win is if they hang around and make it a close game. But I'm still leaning towards Dallas. I'm also going with St. Louis. I feel like St. Louis is a team that's kind of on the border between Division I and Division II. They have added some depth I think will be hard for Tampa Bay to overcome. So I'm going to go with St. Louis, and I'm also going to go with Orlando, even though I feel like Arkansas is a good team. In my heart, I feel like Orlando really needs it, so I'm going to go with Orlando.
All right, so the IWFL Championship weekend is basically same weekend, July 20th through the 22nd. Go figure, right? Both championships on the same weekend. How are you going to go watch one or the other? But anyways, it's in Murray, Utah. The Utah Falcons hosting that event. You guys can go on Facebook at IWFL Championship Weekend 2017, get all the details on tickets and lodging and all that good stuff. We're looking at, on the 21st, the Alliance Bowl, Colorado Freeze taking on the San Antonio Regulators. Then you got the Founders Bowl at 7 p.m., Houston Energy versus Sacramento Sirens, which is the two clubs that lost to the teams that are going to play the championship. And then on Saturday, the 22nd, we're looking at Austin Yellow Jackets and Utah Falcons. They're going to take on that in the same day All-Star game before that at 10 a.m. So all year we talked about it. We said Utah would be here. And no different this year. Utah's here. So, Troy, do we expect Utah to lose?
No. I mean, that attack that they have on offense, man, oh, my God, man. I mean, I really love watching that. It's just like watching Air Force back in the day, you know, with Fisher the Barry and running, you know, running the triple option. They're not going to be stopped. I mean, it was the same last year. They were just literally unstoppable. Pretty much been the same this year. Utah's going to take this all the way. It's just, you know, whoever's in their way is a speed bump. And it's been the same. It's been like that all year, and it's not going to be changed on the championship thing here.
Ms. Holly, are we going with Utah? Yeah?
I hit mute on accident. Yes, I'm definitely going with Utah. I've known a lot of people from that organization. You know, watched them grow. They're very organized. And I have no doubt that the entire weekend will be well done, as they're always on top of all the events and being, you know, logistically on top of things. And as far as the football is concerned, Austin's a good team, but I still feel like Utah is too much depth. When I've watched Utah play in the past, the way that they run their offense and the way that they run their defense, it's a very cohesive style. They'll call in personnel groupings by different labels, and they all take pride in being a part of whichever grouping they're in. And watching it, it's kind of fun to watch because everybody buys into it. So they're an example of a great sports culture that they developed there. And I feel like they just have too much depth, and they'll win that game.
Hey, Troy, remember the coach when we had him on? He said, I can't rotate enough people. That's got to be, like, just crazy. If you're on the other side of the sideline and you're watching that, you're like, what? How? It's almost like they're coming out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And not to mention that, you know, I mean, they do get a lot of publicity for their offense, but just their defense, I mean, they've allowed 8 points this entire year. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, so, yeah. I mean, Austin is not far behind, you know, and they have allowed 24 points, but I don't think they've gone up against – I don't think that Austin team has gone up against a team like the Falcons offensively as astute as they are.
Holly, I would really love the Austin Yellow Jackets to pull the upset and Toni Fuller get her, obviously, her gold medal and then get an IWFL championship. But it just I think she's got to take the gold medal and just – I don't think she's going to get this.
No, as much as I do love Toni, it's not her. It's just the entire team of Utah is going to be hard to overcome. I still – would like to see Utah match up with some of the better teams in the WFA. And maybe one day we'll get that, but it might be a little bit far off.
Can you imagine a Dallas Elite taking on a Utah Falcons? Just like
Ooh,
a dream
that'd
matchup.
That'd be interesting.
Whoa,
wouldn't that be awesome?
Man, yeah.
Elite, Falcons. Maybe we should just do some fundraising on GoFundMe or something just to make it happen. You know, we should just make some money or something and just put up the neutral site and let's just have it done. That would be awesome to see. That would just be awesome to see. Gore, Jenkins, Gerhardt taking on Bean and Kenjeda out there as well. Just be amazing. So that's the lineup for the IWFL. Other news and notes that we have, you can check us out on Facebook at our Gridiron Beauty site, and you can get all the latest weekly updates on what's happening in women's Gridiron globally. Also, we haven't talked about Germany, AFFD, Germany action still going on, but we usually start covering them when the playoffs come around. But overall right now, Berlin Cobras are still top-notch. Then we have the Örebro Black Knights. They beat Stockholm Mean Machines. That's in Sweden, the Sweden National Championship, back-to-back champions as well. They took care of Stockholm Mean Machines 22-6. Congratulations to Ming Ming Zhao out there, one of our no-joke football supporters. And so Örebro Black Knights, back-to-back champions as well. And those were that was an awesome finish for them to take care of that. We also had Leksva completed their season as well. And congratulations to the Jets out in Leksva. They took care of the 49ers, 40-27, Division One. Division Two, Santarios edged the Silverhawks, 19-13, in Leksva final in Mexico. The rest of the results, you can find them on our Twitter feed, or you can go to our Facebook page on facebook.com/gridironbeauties. So, Troy, today is Apple Podcast. So, Holly, thank you. It's our debut on Apple Podcast today. So I'm totally excited because hopefully one day here I can send you a check, or the two of you send you some sort of check. So we're working towards that
hey,
goal.
Man, I like
so,
checks.
You know what I mean?
I like checks.
Who doesn't like checks?
I like checks.
I like to get a check. So hopefully it will transpire into a check. Excuse me?
Even if it's for 15 cents, we'll take it.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'd probably send you a dollar. I'll just make up the 75. No big deal. But, yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. It's been in the works for almost, since the time we went on hiatus, I had to bust my butt and do what I got to do on this side. But overall, it was good. So our goal is obviously no different than women's pro football getting paid. So hopefully we can do that before they get paid. That's our goal. Well, it should happen. It could happen over time. I'm crossing my fingers. You know what I mean?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with getting people paid. Once I have the means, it shouldn't be an issue at all. It would be like beer money to start, but, you know, hey, we can start there. It's not a big deal, right?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I like checks and I like beer, so this fits for me, so I'm good with that.
I'm sorry that Kishi isn't here to hear the news because she might be inclined to, you know, we got to give her maybe a little bigger paycheck. But no, I'm just okay. I mean, we'll equal it out. We'll even it out, and everybody gets a fair share. I think that'll be the fair thing to do. What can I say here? Let's go to NFL news before we get out of here, because we'll get out in a couple minutes here. And Troy, the biggest offseason topic here is her boy, her former boy, Holly's former boy, Kaepernick, not in the CFL, not in the German Football League, not even close to a football NFL camp. So what do you say about this guy?
You know, I just feel like he's being blackballed. I mean, I honestly do. I just think that the stance that he has as far as, like, not kneeling for the flag and not standing for, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, I just think that has really, made some teams shy away, and it's sad because I just think, you know, his stance was, I don't believe it was that egregious. I really don't. And it's not that what he was saying wasn't, you know, true. So, I mean, if he's sitting back saying that he feels a certain way, who are we to sit back and say that he's wrong? I mean, do we do the same thing if, you know, when I'm in, you're in a corporate area, you're in a corporate arena, and someone says that they're being sexually harassed, the thought is that if they say they feel that they are harassed, then you are supposed to take it as such. So why is it different for him if he feels like, you know, racial discrimination in this country is what it is? I just don't understand why it's being just thrown to the side like that.
Here's my point right now. I'll make my point before Holly answers. My point is it's a PR nightmare for NFL owners, and they don't want to take that shot. That's number one. Number two, I think he's a quality quarterback. He should be second string or third string. Even if he doesn't get paid what he wanted to get paid, the opportunity should be afforded him to be the third string or second string somewhere, because he's probably better than some of those other quarterbacks in certain rosters. So that's the facts right there. So I guess at this point, either he has to get a better agent to kind of soften up the PR move or something like that, or he himself needs to come out and say, you know, I'm doing this with my foundation and I'm not going to bring it into your organization. This will just be an off-season thing that I have to do for myself. So, Holly, what do you think?
I think a combination of things. Initially, I felt like he was asking for too much money, and then I started when I thought he was asking for too much money, I thought, well, you know, somebody's still going to eventually pick him up. And then when that didn't happen, then I'm like, well, now I kind of feel like there's some blackballing going around. And the fact that he hasn't been picked up by a Canadian team either, you know, I feel like it's kind of sad in a way, because I don't feel like they're necessarily – there probably are people that are blackballing him because of his opinion, but I think there's more teams blackballing him because they don't want the attention. I feel like they're so afraid of bad PR that they would just rather avoid it altogether, which is kind of sad. And the thing that really was weird to me is when he came up here to Seattle and the Seahawks were looking at him, the explanation that the Seahawks gave for not signing him was kind of weird to me. Because they were like, oh, it's not because of the stance. It's because we don't want Russell Wilson to feel threatened. And I thought that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
You can't,
yeah.
Like, that's literally what they said. And I was like, that
yeah.
makes no sense. You're an NFL football team. You should want a competitive environment so that Russell Wilson can be the better version of himself. Why would you ever, even if that's what you felt, why would you ever publicly say that? And then
yeah.
I thought, well, maybe it's just a misdirection. And, like, I don't feel like Pete Carroll is a guy that really cares that.
Did Holly drop off? I think she dropped off.
I think she dropped off. I'll say this, and I'll just
yeah,
go ahead. Last point. We've had people in the NFL who have beaten women. We've had people who have been caught
oh,
with
yeah.
drugs. We've had people that have murdered people, have killed people. And they've still gotten chances. This,
oh, yeah.
to me, is and I'm honestly, I'm borderline, was thinking about boycotting the NFL because of it, but I can't. I'm an addict.
Yeah.
I'm a football addict. I have to admit it. But this, to me, is just a slap in the face. It is. It's just a slap in the face. If that is the reason why they're not going to sign this guy, and I don't
think
that there are plenty of NFL teams that can handle this PR issue here, I just think it's crazy.
Sorry,
what
I think my call
yeah.
dropped.
No, go ahead, Holly. I think we dropped off a little bit.
I'm not sure where it came. I was just going, and it happened. It was one of those things where you're just talking, and all of a sudden, nobody's there. So I talked about the Seahawks thing. That's basically where I was wrapping up, is I thought that was kind of weird. I figured as an NFL organization, you had a lot of competitive environment, and then it made me feel like, well, maybe there's more to that Richard Sherman story that came out this summer than we previously thought. Maybe they are trying to protect Russell Wilson. But at the same time, I just thought, geez, why would you bring him all the way up here if you're concerned about Russell? That makes no sense.
No, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. That's what Troy's point is. That Troy's point is it's not something that the PR group can't work with. They just don't want to.
Right.
And so, you know
exactly.
what I mean? Because they've done it for other people, like he says. You know, they've done it for domestic abusers. They've done it for every other infraction that the NFL has had. And all of a sudden, I mean, the only infraction he made was a stance with some voice. It wasn't like he harmed anybody. And so, at this point, like I said, if he doesn't get a third-string job or a second-string job, that, to me, is not a good thing for the NFL because now you're, like, pinpointing individuals.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the NFL owners, they're, you know, billionaires. And as far as I know, they're pretty much all white men, right? So,
for the most part, yeah. Except for Kelly in Buffalo.
Yes. And
or Kim,
never,
I'm sorry, Kim. Kim in Buffalo.
Yeah, I've met to the Buffalo owner their husband-wife team, and I've met the wife, and she's really sweet. I like her a lot. But other than that, pretty much rich old white men. And I feel like they're really disconnected, and then they probably just don't want to deal with it. And it makes me kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think Troy's on the same lane that I am. I just think that it could be fixed. There's some way to do it. It's not a big deal. I think he's fit for something. Even if it's a low-end team like Cleveland or somewhere, I think he's got, you know, he should have a spot somewhere, especially in the NFL. So at this point, you know, if nobody picks him up, I'm surprised nobody's picked him up in the CFL either. That surprised me, you know, because if you figure at least in the CFL he would be picked up or something, you know, like a la Jeff Garcia when he left the NFL. But I don't know. I'm going with Troy's analogy here. It just fits the bill right now.
And, you know, last year, as a 49ers fan, when I've watched him, he was not playing the best football he's ever played. He was not on the same level he was when he first came on the scene with the Niners, but he's still good enough to have a job. And
yeah.
And I really do think he hurt himself a bit by asking for a lot of money up front, but then because what it did is it gave a built-in excuse for teams not to sign him. And so then you went down the ladder of excuses. Oh, he's asking for too much. And, oh, you know, we just don't have a place for him. And, oh, we don't want to upset Russell. And so it is what it is at this point. I feel like eventually he'll get another crack at football. It's just a matter of what league. I would imagine he's probably going to play, you know, maybe eventually for Canada or an arena team somewhere, and maybe hopefully put some of that behind him. At least that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Well, I think the way it goes is, you know, around this time he may not get signed, but I think once training camp opens, you get a few preseason
yeah.
games. There's bound to be a few injuries. He's going to get a look
yeah.
somewhere, and it's going to be in the NFL. I just think that, honestly, it's just it's really hard for me to shake it. But really, shame on the NFL, shame on the owners.
Yep.
This seems like one of these collusion type of things. And, you know, and I hate to speculate, and I wouldn't want to go as far as say is calling an NFL player a bum, but in comparison to a guy with Colin Kaepernick's skills and looking at the other player, the other quarterbacks who are being signed places, Blaine Gabbert, I mean, these guys are really – I mean, these guys are getting jobs, but over him, like, I'm not buying it.
Well, you can have the argument on talent to a certain extent, but when you rate everybody – you know, when they start rating the quarterbacks, I really think he's higher rated above some other quarterbacks. That's what I'm saying. It's
absolutely.
Like, you know, I would put him at, like, second string somewhere. You know what I mean? Browns
absolutely.
Or Jacksonville or something. Even if he doesn't start, I know, I mean, from my view, I think he's at least second string somewhere, you know?
Absolutely.
So maybe, maybe his agent needs to do some softening with the ownerships. Maybe the price comes down, and then maybe they'll think twice about it or whatever. But anyways, that was one of the topics that, you know, when we were gone, it was still kind of all over it. And then the Seattle not taking him, that was like a total shocker and surprise too, like Holly says, not taking him there. So that was kind of like, really? So, Holly, at this point, we're going to stick around. If you want to stick around, we're going to talk Legends Football League. Otherwise, I can let you go now if you want.
I do have to get started on packing for Pittsburgh, so I should get going on.
And just to let everybody know, this young lady is going to the All-Star, All-American game in Pittsburgh on the 20th through the 22nd, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
And
Congratulations, Holly, what
number is this? How many times is this?
This is number 6.
Congratulations. Awesome. Awesome. For you
Thank
to come
you.
Back from the injury and then make All-Stars, congratulations. Awesome work.
Thank you. It was a lot of work, and I'm still progressing. I'm going to work this off-season to try to get away from having to use my brace. And everything's going pretty well, and I was just happy to be back on the field, and I'm excited to go to Pittsburgh. And it should be a lot of fun.
All right, so I guess we're expecting a Facebook Live or some sort of updates from you from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yes. I'll be videoing as I go.
Awesome.
I always do. It's pretty fun.
Perfect. So, Holly, and the blog comes out when? When are you thinking of doing the blog at this point? Next week, week after, or before the Web Bowl?
I have one that's I have actually two coming out for next week. One's like kind of a recap of the season, and then another one on the World Games. I've been battling basically strep throat the last like 4 or 5 days, so I've been kind of I haven't had this since I was like 15, and let me tell you, it knocked me down, but I'm feeling better now. Probably next week. So probably next week before I leave for Pittsburgh.
All right, then. Holly's blog, you guys can follow her. Holly, go ahead and give them the handles that they can follow you on Twitter, Instagram, and obviously Facebook.
So Facebook, you can find me at Holly Custis. I also have a player page under Relentless Football 20. So it's FBL21. That's also my Twitter handle, and then my blog is on WordPress, and it's Relentless Football FBL21 as well.
So we'll link those up once you post it up. We'll share those on all our sites as well as Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff so we can get it out there. Really good pieces that she does, and she obviously puts a lot of thought into it, so they're really well done. So we'll look forward to those. So,
thank you.
Safe travels to Pittsburgh. Look forward to the updates, and then you're going to be there to witness whether the elite
will beat Renegades, or will they be disappointed a third time? So we'll look forward to that matchup.
Yes, I'll be there.
All right, Holly, thank you. Safe travels. Thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
See you, Holly.
Have a good night. Bye, Chris.
All right, Mr. Wilson, I can tell you this Legends Football League season has been, how can we put it politely, crappy? Pretty
blowout
crappy. God, I'm like, come on, Mitchell Mortaza, can you come up with anything easier than putting the four best teams at the end of the, at the tournament? Just like, oh, my God. The schedule is just not very good. I mean, it's just like, crazy. So let's recap, and before we get, you know, before we leave here, let's recap. So Troy, I don't know if you've been following it since we took the hiatus, but obviously I've been following it because I got to follow it. But reality is Seattle opens the season week one, 46-26 against the Austin Acoustic. Let's give Acoustic credit here. Much improved team this year. A lot more ballers on their side of the plate. Tashae Winfrey has played really well so far. So they put up 26 points against Seattle. Seattle, tons of weapon with Dallas Desire accusations, Randall and Angel and Peterson. And, I mean, and on top of that, Snorre and, you know, the slew of missed players that they had before. So there you go, 46-26, week one. So that was pretty decent. It wasn't too bad of a matchup. Then we go dud. Omaha, 34-6 against the expansion Pittsburgh Rebellion. Drake, she played pretty well, Alex Drake. So Omaha better team than Pittsburgh at this point. Then we go to week three, the Bliss, 93-6 against Denver at Denver. Okay, I'm going to say this right now. If Mitchell wasn't embarrassed for that game, I don't know where other game can you be embarrassed, but I got a couple more coming up. So
yeah,
the Denver Dream was a nightmare in that week. 93-6, and they didn't even use Del Harris much of the game. So you know, Coach Ack was just like playing around the whole game.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? He was just playing around, basically. it's just like I was just laughing my head off that whole game. I was like, I felt bad for the Denver girls. That's all I'm saying. Just
like a cat toying with a mouse.
Yeah, yeah. It was just bad. It was like cheese on a string. You know what I mean? That kind of deal.
Yeah.
It was not good. And I'm not even going to mention Denver standouts because I don't think there's any. They got to go to an offseason and really work on it. So I don't think they have any real stars there yet. Atlanta, 56-21 against the Rebellion. Sort of disappointed. The Rebellion did keep up with them for about two quarters and a half. You got to give them credit. Pittsburgh does have some veteran former LFL players like Morgan Spencer and Remy Olenzak. And a couple other players on their team that obviously played LFL football before. So no surprise there that they would put up, you know, 21 points against Atlanta. Just disappointing that Atlanta seems to start fast and they kind of drop off. I don't know how that happens
so,
with them.
So they still haven't solved that problem from last year.
They have not. They have not. And so Pittsburgh puts up 21 points, which, you know, credit to them because they had put up 2 points in week two. So they improved their, you know, their scoring and they obviously – more confident. Then we go to week five in Los Angeles, and Drake was injured in that game as well, didn't play the full game. And there you go. Omaha, no quarterback. Guess what happens to Omaha? 79-6. No heart. So Drake goes down, no heart. Just, I don't know, just a mess there. They've been trying to rebuild that program for, what, 3 years now, and it's still the same. It's not going anywhere at this point. The week after, we see the Denver Nightmare once again, but now on the road. 106-0. Record. Can you imagine the bull? Every time she got the ball, she's like, man, look at this door. It's wide open.
Like,
walk right in.
Oh, my God.
What playmaker do you give the ball? I think everybody got a touch of that night. I'm pretty sure everybody scored. You could have handed it to a defensive player, and they would have probably scored. What a disaster!
This is echoes of Georgia Tech versus Cumberland at 222-0 game.
Oh yeah!
This is echoes
Nightmare! What a nightmare! Anyway, it's great for stats, I guess. If you want to pencil the stats, You know what I mean? Oh, my God. Well, as one Twitter fan told me, well, Denver never showed up, so I guess that's the closest score you can pencil in. It's kind of like in golf, you know what I mean? 106-0.
Oh,
wow.
Oh.
Wow. We go to week 7, Atlanta, Chicago, and once again, you've been saying it for, what, 2 years now, Troy? Once again, Atlanta takes the lead, and then Kochak decides to hack them, 34-27.
Yep.
Last quarter, no Atlanta steam. But, you know, they still get that aggressive, I lose control of my mind in the last quarter or whatever, and they just kind of can't finish. They can't finish. It's just the way it is. I feel bad for Adrian Smith. I mean, Adrian Purnell, and I feel bad for Dakota Hughes and company. But maybe, to your point, it is a coaching issue. Maybe Dane Robinson is not good enough to beat the Bliss.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it's something, it's just something that is not, it's not clicking once halftime is over or once the fourth quarter starts. I just don't, they don't have that killer instinct. You know, they don't have that, you know, put your foot on their throat type of attitude. It's hard to explain. It's not a talent issue. It's not. They have extremely
It's like kryptonite
roster.
For them, right? It's like the Bliss is a kryptonite.
Yeah.
It's just like
they're
kryptonite.
In their head.
Yeah. Then we go. Yeah, then we go to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh and Omaha, probably the first competitive game of the whole season. The Rebellion, 21-20 against Omaha, which I think Drake also did not show up that game, only for about two quarters, and then she kind of got injured as well. So, but, you know, they stayed in. More of an equal level game. This is more equal, right? Expansion versus expansion, technically. So,
yeah.
The expectation is, you know, they can score on each other, and it's pretty even keel, and everything was great. But congratulations to Remy Olenchak and Morgan Spencer for edging, getting the 1-point win against Omaha in Week 8. We're looking at Week 9, very highly anticipated game. Austin Acoustic coming off putting up 26 points against Seattle, very tested. We understand the Winfrey improvement from a year ago, and she did play well. New coaching, Anna Garza as well. You got Michelle Marchio out there. You got Timmy Zimmerman. They were missing obviously Steph, which is their big gun, and she's out. But McCormick. But other than that, they have come into play. Cassandra Bliss has stepped up. She's played really good during their season. But Atlanta just obviously another level. 67-31. They did stay pretty close for about three quarters, and then last quarter Atlanta sort of finishes. And so 67-31. What do you take from that game, Troy? Atlanta, you know, gets beaten by Chicago, and then they come back and they beat Austin. Austin, way better team than any other team probably in the NFL besides Seattle, LA, probably at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta, you know, their issue isn't talent. I just think it's really a mental thing for them. I mean, they have plenty of talent on that roster. They can score. They can hit. They're aggressive on defense. They're aggressive on their blocking assignments. It's just, you know, they really just have to finish when it counts. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, looking at the standings, they're still going to make the playoffs. It's just, you know, it'll just come down to what they do when they get there. And they're going to have to go through Chicago. So, I mean, for them to get any kind of momentum, any kind of confidence, they're going to have to solve that riddle. And, you know, it looks like, you know, and when they already lost to them this year, doing the same thing that they did three times last year, I just don't know if they can do it. I don't know if they have it in them.
So week 10, we go into Austin and the visiting Temptation, new look Temptation, no more Gaxiola. But, you know, you got quarterback Salerno back. And in that game, Salerno didn't really play. It was more like, backup quarterback play, in other words. But they take care of business, 56-28 against Austin. Austin also played really well for about three quarters as well, so competitive. And I'm impressed with Austin because they have come to play every single game, 26 points on their first game. They come up to play on their second game as well against Atlanta, 31 points. And then they put up 28 points back-to-back weeks. So that's impressive. I think the program there is growing.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see. You want to see market improvement from year to year, game to game, and Austin is doing that. And then on the L.A. side, you know, that bad taste that they had in their mouth going 3-1 last year, not making the playoffs, they don't want to have to go through that again. So right now they're 2-0. They want to keep that ball rolling, and we'll see how long they can keep and sustain that. And they'll still have to see Seattle, who is, you know, the clear-cut favorite right now in the playoffs when it starts up.
And while you do that, Seattle, week 11, same result as week 6, but with just a couple lesser points, 98-0 against the Denver Dream. I don't know if I don't know if the Denver girls really realized that they had another crack. Didn't show up either. Not even a score,
like,
you know what I mean?
Looks like Seattle just kind of came into that game lackadaisical and took their foot off the gas. You know, I'm not sure about the effort of the Seattle team. I'm just joking here, but they really just run roughshod right over Denver. Denver's going to have to, you know, they're going to have to take their lumps this season. We'll see if they can get a talent infusion with that team, but right now they're just in a non-competitive state right now.
So, Troy, looking forward to week 15, Chicago against Denver once again. I think the result's going to – there's not much of a matchup there. So if you have your tickets to the Chicago game in Chicago, then you're going to witness great bliss ball live. So it's going to be just a clinic, basically, if you want to think about it.
Yeah.
Week 12, you got L.A. beating Pittsburgh this past week, L.A. 34-6. Pittsburgh did play pretty decent ball for the first quarter, and then they kind of just – you know, L.A. just kind of took over. So L.A. is, I think, 3-0 at this point, if I'm correct, or 2-0, 3-0. So 3-0, the win against Omaha, 79-6.
Yeah.
L.A. beating Austin, 56-28. So they're going to face Seattle, and that's what I'm saying. It's like the schedule is just weak. I don't understand why he couldn't match up the top two teams during the weeks, you know what I mean, at this point, but it is what it is. It should have been just a better matchup that way. You could add Austin playing the expansion teams instead, you know what I mean? Omaha playing some expansion teams instead to be in the mix for playoff contention at some point. But you could have had the four top teams playing each other at least twice, you know, during the year. That would have been competitive and great games to see, but it doesn't happen. So, Troy, your assessment of this up to now, we're at week 13 next week, but week 12, your assessment up to now, it is what it is, right? Seattle, L.A., Atlanta, Chicago, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's a top-heavy league. I mean, the teams on the bottom are inexperienced or just don't have the talent. Some teams up and coming, like that Austin team. Some teams sometimes show a little bit of heart. Some don't, you know, with Omaha, but they, you know, had some injuries also. But it's a top-heavy league. So, I mean, at this point, really, I just think, you know, all the fans and the teams right now, they're just looking forward to, you know, just getting the playoffs started, and then we'll see from there. I'm really interested to see the psyche of this Atlanta team. It looks like they're going to have to go on the road unless Chicago somehow stubs their toe, you know, along the way. I want to see if Atlanta can go on the road and solve the Chicago problem that they have. But, you know, at that point in time, you know, Chicago, they rested Chris Del Harris last year. They're doing it a little bit this year. They're going to have her fresh. That's their war horse. So, you know, when she's on the field, it's just going to be a different it's going to be a little bit of a different look for Chicago. So they're going to have their hands full, Atlanta. They are. And we'll see if they can solve that problem. I really would love to see how L.A. is going to fare in the playoffs. They were one of my favorite teams to watch last year. I really wanted to see how they would show up on the field against Seattle. They're going to get that chance this year, so I'm looking forward to that matchup. But I just think right now Seattle was playing above and beyond the best football out of everyone in the league. But they still have to go through, you know, the defending champs. Everyone has to go through the defending champs as of right now. But I just think Seattle right now is playing the best ball. They have a bad taste in their mouth also with a lot of injuries that they had, especially during the championship game. So, you know, it's going to be – at least when the playoffs start, it's going to be a lot more interesting than the regular season is.
Yeah, and next week, pretty good matchup, rematch of week one. So we got Seattle at Sherwood Center hosting the Austin Acoustics.
Acoustics put up 26 points. Much better team already. Like I said, they've played Atlanta. They have played L.A. So Western Conference is always tough in this league. In the last couple years, it's always been the tough. And I think that helps Austin a lot because in the East, it's kind of a walkthrough. You know, it's Chicago, Atlanta pretty much. So in the West, it's really a dogfight. And I think that's it's going to help the Acoustics. So Acoustics taking on and the Seattle Mist. KK Matheny was actually nominated for Hall of Fame and deduction. So just the way the LFL does it. I don't know why they do that. I think they should just wait until they retire and then, you know, give them a three-year leave or a four-year leave or something and just choose somebody, but that's the way they do it. So she's obviously being nominated for that. I'm pretty sure there'll be others nominated in the coming weeks. But she was one of the ones that was announced this week that she would be nominated for the LFL Hall of Fame. So week 13, looking forward to it. I'm assuming Seattle will punch it in and looking forward to August 20th in obviously in Chicago at Sears Center. Then week 14, interesting, Chicago plays Omaha, and then they play Denver. So how about just giving two wins right away? Just the way
chalk them up.
You know what I mean? It's like Coach Hack is looking at that, and he's like, do I put in my third string unit, or which unit do I put in? You know what I mean? He's probably just, you know what I mean? It's if you're the coach, you're probably laughing right now. Yeah, I mean, I don't even think you're going to see Del Harris in the game.
No.
Maybe for a quarter or a couple plays, you know what I mean? I doubt she's going to be even in there.
Yeah, she'll be in her best. She'll be in her best skivvies, you know, on the sideline. You know, she'll be in her best outfit. You know, she's going to be relaxed. Chilling.
Yeah. So the best games that we have to watch out for is this coming week, week 13, and obviously the last weekend of the season, Temptation taking on the Steam. We saw what LA did last year. They went into Atlanta. They took care of Atlanta. Coach Tui said, no Eastern Conference team is going to be my team. We're going to show them what West Coast ball is all about. Is it an eye-opening, awakening moment for the Steam? Because if they get beat down by L.A., and then they got to go to face Chicago, I don't know. Troy, same result? It's going to be a loss?
I don't know. It's just, yeah, maybe, you know, Atlanta does something with, you know, against L.A. Because it's not Chicago. I mean, they play tough football. So, I mean, again, it's not a talent issue. I just think maybe it is just big spots or, really good teams that Atlanta starts to curl into a ball. I really want to see how they adjust themselves. I mean, because, again, they are an extremely talented club. They just can't get out of their own way when it really counts. And, you know, that's just the gist of it.
The only problem I see for them is there was no Ashley Salerno last year as LA quarterback. Remember, you had the quarterback in Chicago now. So
true.
Caldwell was in LA boots, remember, and she wanted to put a statement on her resume saying, "I beat my former team, Atlanta Steam." This year, you got Hall of Fame veteran, you know, quarterback that has won three championships, and you know Tui is going to get in her head. He says, "You're a legend. You want these punks to take care of you?" I can tell already.
Right.
That's like the speech, you know what I mean? Or you're going to, you know she's not coming in to lose. And they got Brousseau back. They got number 20 back, Carmen Brousseau. What a beast, which last year they didn't have. They didn't have a real running back, and this year they got muscle. So I hate to say this again, but Atlanta, you got trouble. Trouble from L.A., and Coach Hack has got the recipe. Pie in Chicago, I think, on August 20th, if they can't get it changed around. So Dane Robinson, you know what? I don't know what kind of pill you got to take, but whatever you're taking, it ain't working. So that's just the bottom line right there, as Stone Cold would say. The bottom line. Yeah, Austin 316 has arrived in Chicago, and they can't seem to get over it. You know what I mean? My God. You got Allie Alberts drinking beer after every win. That's the equivalent of Steve Austin, you know what I mean?
During the win. I mean, he could be smoking a cigar on the sideline, you know, when this is going on.
Yeah. I miss that guy. That guy was awesome. during my youth, of course. Pretty awesome man, pretty awesome guy. But yeah, that's the bottom line right now. Atlanta will get to the championship even if they lose, I think, to LA. But can they overcome? You know, like you said, that's their Achilles heel is the Bliss. And given the fact that the Bliss is playing Week 14 and Week 15 against Omaha and Denver, thank you, Mr. Mortaza, for resting
right.
the champions. You know what I mean? They're going to come in fresh. Mm-hmm. AJ Johnson, Ali Alberts, you know, I mean, they just got too many weapons. They're just like Seattle. They got too many options. It's just sad in that sense, but it is what it is. Really good ball. But she hasn't faced anybody yet. I think this will be the real test. They faced Atlanta, and they beat them, so it'll be the second test for Caldwell to see how she does.
Still sharp and still out here. I mean, you know, that's what you have to do to get better. And, you know, maybe it'll be different the second time around. I don't really think so. I just, you know, they just have issues in big games. It's really as simple as that.
Troy, you put your money on the line right now. Are you taking Tui's temptation to upset Seattle, or are we taking Seattle just to take care of L.A. in the playoffs? And you're not taking, obviously, Atlanta, right?
I just really think – no, I'm not – no. I think I think right now Seattle is playing better ball than anybody. They're putting points on the board. Of course, they've played Denver twice, but and that team that they have is a veteran team. They're a championship team. They know how to get things done. And I just think, you know – Barnes a few injuries last year. Maybe I think they would have beaten the Bliss. I actually had Seattle winning that game, but you got to give it to Chicago. They came through and they won. But I just think Seattle is playing tremendous ball right now. So right now I would say Seattle's my favorite. I would not be shocked at all if Coach Tui and the Temptation come in and upset them. I just wouldn't, you know, especially with Seattle basically having two practice sessions on their record right now. Again, I thought L.A. was last year would have really given Seattle a go. So, if you know, when that matchup happens, it's going to be tough. I need to see L.A. play one more time to kind of get a better read on them.
This will be LFL football. So I told fans on Twitter that this matchup, Chicago-Atlanta – L.A. and Seattle, if you haven't watched the NFL all year, this is the two games that you got to watch because this is
absolutely
basically what it boils down to. So, Tui, I know it's going to be ready. He's hungry for another banner. Obviously, he's got the tools and all the weapons. Coach Hack, I think Coach Hack reminds me of the Joker. He's just sitting back laughing. And I don't know what Coach Robinson's thinking right now, but I know he's pissed. So, I know, that's usually the case, I guess, if you want to break it down that way. But he's just laughing. You know, Atlanta comes in and they kind of do themselves in. That's not a good thing. Troy, so next week, prediction, do you want to do the prediction for next week? Who do you think takes the – Austin, you think, beat Seattle? No, right?
No way. No. I think Seattle will go ahead and win this one pretty easily. Austin will – they'll play with their typical heart. And they'll come out there and give a great effort, but I think in the end, Seattle's going to win it.
I think they put up 25-30 burner on them. I think Seattle will probably win it over 40 points. So, yeah, I agree with you,
yeah.
Seattle. Week 14, we're already punching in the Bliss, unless there's some sort of upset and somebody's got, you know, what, stomach flu or something.
Yeah, upsets are very far and few in between in the LFL. I think Chicago is just a much better team. Their coach better, players better. It's just not even going to be close. Chicago wins easy.
Okay, so next week we'll talk about Seattle-Austin. If you guys want to check out all the previous games, we have them posted on our Twitter feed at Gridiron Beauty on Twitter. We also have first quarter posts on Facebook. And you can always go directly to the Legends Football League site on YouTube and get the remaining three quarters and watch them there. That's where me and Troy usually watch them. So at this point, Troy, it's going to be a great season. At the end, I think it's going to be a great matchup, but we have to wait. We have to literally wait 3 weeks for this whole thing to kind of unfold. But it's what it is. It is what it is. Great to have you back.
I was hoping Nkechi would be back, but I'm pretty sure she'll be back probably next week. And then so we are now officially on Apple Podcasts. If I'm not, I haven't been excited all since the beginning of the hour. So it's a great move for us, a great move for all of us. And hopefully revenue comes off of that, and we can keep this format going and obviously make awareness of women's American football, you know, that it happens, and it's played internationally as well as globally and in the States. And so I'm very, very proud that we got to this level. I couldn't have done it with you and Nkechi, and obviously before that, Erica Lynn Anderson and Eric Brown. So we are giving ourselves kudos today because we're literally moving forward and we're going forward, so that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was just, you know, just good to get back in there and start talking about some football and just getting around, you know, promoting the women's game and, you know, worldwide. And so, you know, you being an advocate for it and me just being a part of it, I'm grateful for it. So thank you.
And for you guys that don't know, this is our college football guru. So in the next coming weeks, we are going to be talking college, you know, the pre-stuff. And then we're going to dive into, obviously, the NFL more in focus. And then we go from there, of course. Dive into NFL, and then we're going to do Gridiron Australia that we normally do. Then the German League finishes up with their playoffs. And then there's other Europe leagues that start up as well. So we'll keep tabs on them as well on our Facebook page at Gridiron Beauties. If you guys want to help us out on our Zazzle shop, daily specials there every day at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. Every sale that we get from there, whether it be a T-shirt, a hoodie, or leggings, goes towards to spotlighting another talented player in the women's gridiron game globally. So in Europe, North America, and Australia. And so if you want to check out who and what talented players we spotlight, you can always go to our Twitter feed on our media site, and you can check out all the players that we've done. Congratulations to Brooke Lidsby, who is now the 2018 Doji Malo trading card, first card for the 2018 season. So Doji Malo put up Brooke Lidsby, who had a great season with the Kansas City Titans, took them to the playoffs. What a young girl. What a phenom. So I can not be more proud of Brooke for being a no-joke football supporter, number one, and all the talented athletes that were at the Women's World Games in Canada that were part of our No Joke Football brand as well. Unfortunately, I could not be there because of other things, but I was spirited watching the whole time. And so congratulations to Team USA. Congratulations to Team Canada for silver medal, Team Mexico for the bronze, and then Team Finland finished fifth, and my Aussie girls, all the girls out there, they did an awesome job. They finished sixth, and I know they'll be back in 2021 to put a better showing that they did this year. But what an amazing tournament that it was, and congratulations to all the winners. Also, thank you for Alejandra Hernandez coming on from Team Mexico, a bronze medal winner, for being interviewed today. We appreciate that, and we continue success for her and FX Mexico and elevate the game even higher. So, Troy, I don't know. What else can I say?
Hey, just like you said, man, good to be back and good to be talking football. So, you know, we're going to be here for a while, guys. So just make sure you tune in to us on every Tuesday at 9 p.m. the Eastern Standard Time, that is. And, you know, we'll talk some football. So also feel free to call in and chime in. You can also follow us on our Twitter pages. You can follow us on at Gridiron Beauties at Twitter. And then you can also follow me at Troy Wilson 1 at Twitter.com. And also, what's in Kishi's Twitter again?
Oh, and Kishi's Cuties on Twitter. And you can always follow her on Facebook as well, Nkechi Free. And she covers NBA as well. So she does, you know, she follows the NBA because she's a passionate basketball fan too. And obviously NFL. So, you know, we'll have her back next week and we'll be chatting probably NFL college football as well. Just a reminder, everybody. You want to get the details, you want to be in Pittsburgh, the details are WFAProFootball.com, or you can go to our Twitter feed and you can follow the at WFA Football. You get the link there on Twitter. The IWFLSports.com, or you can follow IWFL on Twitter, or you can go to the Facebook page, IWFL Championship Weekend 2017. Get all the details about the championship, IWFL Championship in Utah and the one in Pittsburgh. Both are going to be July 20th through the 22nd. And that's going to do it for us. Thank you for being here today. Appreciate it. Thanks to Alex Hernandez Macias for being our guest today. Holly Custis for talking WFA football with us. Troy Wilson, on behalf of Troy Wilson and Kishi Free, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts today, or you can listen to us directly on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to our links on our Twitter feed or Facebook page. So for Troy Wilson and Kishi Free, Oscar Lopez saying catch you next week as we talk more women's football, NFL, and upcoming college football. Have a great night, everybody.